Good morning. My name is Kathy Dobie, and I'm so glad to be here this morning with all of you on the last Sunday of the year. Can you believe it? The last Sunday of 2017. And I don't know about all of you, but I'm feeling a little bit pooped out this morning, a little tired out. I think that, you know, they call Christmas the most wonderful time of the year, but I think the emphasis should be on full. Especially this last week, it's been a wonderful week, and actually the whole month of December, boom, 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 things have been going fast. And so I'm a little tired out, but you know what? It might have been easy this morning to say, you know what, I think I'm just staying in my new pajamas, get that new book I got, that new movie, and just relax today, unwind, not do anything. But I was motivated to be here this morning, and not because I'm giving the message, but because of the message I'm giving. It's a very important thing we're talking about this morning. In fact, I'm going to go out on a limb and say this might be one of the most important messages you've heard all year, because today we're talking about relationship and community and how we stay connected, how we support one another. And I can't think of anything more important than that in our church. At Sycamore Creek, we do that through what we call small groups. Small groups. And Jeremy referred to this group link you received when you came in. That program probably felt a little thick this morning because we got this big group link in here with all the different small groups that are coming up in this next few weeks that you can sign up and be a part of. So I want you to keep that handy somewhere, as we're going to talk about a little bit more as we get into this message. But I want to share with you today why small groups are such an essential part of our church, why it's such a big deal, why do we put so much into these small groups. And it's simply because we weren't meant to live life alone. We weren't meant to do this by ourselves. We weren't meant to struggle alone, and we certainly weren't meant to celebrate things alone. We can't follow Jesus well on our own. And here's the basic premise of today's message. You need to have someone who's pouring into you and someone you are pouring into. You need to have someone that you're pouring into and someone pouring into you. We need people in our lives that we're so connected to that they know when we're going through stuff. They know when life's happening to us. They understand the experiences we're having because they know us so well. They know us on that deeper level. I hope you have someone like that in your life, or maybe a few people like that in your life, that you can depend on if you ever have a need to vent, or a need to get a ride somewhere, or if you're like me, just a need to go to the movie. Sometimes I just need to go to the movie. I call my friend Karen, or I get a granddaughter, and I go to the movie. Now, some of us are blessed to have a spouse or a significant other in our life that we can depend on for that, and that's great. Or other family, like a sibling, or a parent, or children. But I'm not really talking about family, because even if we have family, we still need to have friends in our life like that. And we need to be that friend to someone else. So my question for you this morning, is there someone keeping an eye out for you? Is there someone keeping an eye out for you? That's the basic concept of the church, that we teach and are taught by others, and we help and are helped by others. That's the church. And it's not just for adults. It's for across the ages. It's an essential part of our children and youth ministries through Kids Creek and Teen Fuel. We do it across the ages, and it's an essential part of our adults with our small groups. It's community, it's relationship, and it's available to all of us. You don't have to be a partner at Sycamore Creek to participate and be a part of small groups. In fact, you don't even have to come to church to do that. We can all do that. It's community, it's all of us, no matter the age, moving together as we follow the teachings of Jesus Christ. So what does community look like? What does community look like? How do you picture it when you think about community? Well, consider the circle, such as this sphere of circles. It's not really a circle, it's more of a ball, but it's a ball of circles intricately woven together with one another, circle upon circle, much like our lives are a myriad of interactions we have with other people. A circle is a good representation of community because it represents totality and wholeness, and it's infinite, it's eternal. A circle has no beginning and no end. It's timeless. It's a symbol of shared love and friendship, faithfulness. In marriage, a circle symbolizes holiness and perfection and peace when we exchange rings during the vows. A circle is a great image for community because circles are better than rows. Circles are better than rose. Things happen in a circle face to face that can't happen in a row shoulder to shoulder. Things happen in a small group circle when people are sharing together, talking with one another, getting to know one another, serving together, praying together. The depth of our relationships is nurtured and strengthened and develops in circles. I've experienced the power of small group circle many times in my life. In the last 25 years, I've been in groups probably more often than I've not been in groups. And so I understand that power of groups. And I've done a lot of different studies, but you know what? It wasn't about the studies. A lot of Bible studies, a lot of book studies, but it really wasn't about the subject as much as it was about the circle, about that connection to community, the pouring into one another and the caring for one another. Now, I know some people are a little hesitant to join a small group, and I've heard a lot of reasons why. Some of them are just simply that people are afraid they might have to expose too much of their soul, you know, might have to share their deepest, darkest secrets. That's not necessarily true. So it does happen sometimes, but it's not an obligation to do that. Some people are afraid they might have to read out loud or pray out loud. That can be intimidating. One of the big ones I've heard people say, aside from time, a lot of people say, I don't have time for that. But aside from that, one of the big ones I've heard people say about small groups is they're afraid they don't know enough about the Bible, that they might look silly because they don't have enough Bible knowledge to talk intelligently about it. Kind of like this guy I want to show you in a video who has the wrong idea about the expectations of small group. Watch this.
Thanks so much for inviting me to Bible study. Oh, you know what? I don't have my Bible. I forgot. Oh, I got it on my phone, obviously. Like, you know what I'm saying? I have the Bible. It's just so nice to wherever you go to have the Bible with you on your person. I pretty much have the whole New Testament at this point memorized. It's just like Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans. You know what I'm saying? You get it. What are we reading out of? John 4? Oh, one of my favorites. Siri, please turn Bible to John 4.
You have not opened your Bible in 3 months.
Oh, okay.
Oh, boy. Now, listen, you don't have to impress anybody with your Bible knowledge in a small group. It's about the relationships. It's about the connection. It's about pouring into one another. And here's the reason why this community, this connection to community is so important. It's simply this. We drift. We drift. As human beings, we naturally just drift away from everything that is wholesome and good for us. And we generally don't drift in a good direction. We generally drift the other opposite way from things that are healthy, like our diets and our budgets and our relationships. I was just reading about the top 10 New Year's resolutions. It's New Year's Eve, and some people are thinking about that. You know, it's the same things every year. The ones I was reading: start exercising, eat healthier, don't eat the things I shouldn't be eating, put more time into my relationships, quit smoking, stop drinking as much. All those things we think that we've drifted into doing at this time of year, we think about a fresh start. Those are the top 10 resolutions. We drift in our relationship with God, too. And we can get spiritually depleted. I told you I was a little pooped out this morning. And, you know, when I get overtired, I can get depleted. When I get overscheduled or overextend myself, anybody ever do that? I'm not the only one that overextends myself. A month or so back, I triple booked myself one weekend. I mean, I've double booked myself before, and that's hard enough, but I triple booked myself. Three important things I was supposed to do, three important places I was supposed to be, and you can't be in three places at once, so I had to let a few people down. I had to backtrack because I wasn't organized. I was a little depleted. I got Google Calendar on my phone now. So hopefully I'll stay on track in 2018. But when I get depleted, I know it's because I've begun to drift and I've overextended myself. I'm not practicing those spiritual disciplines, we call them, of spending time with God, spending some good alone time with God, meditating, reading Scripture, studying about it, coming to worship. If I don't do those things, I know I can begin to feel spiritually depleted, and then I begin to drift. And if I neglect it for too long, then I'm really in trouble. And it's bad enough when I don't take care of myself. But when I start to let other people down, and I have to, boy, I'm sorry, but I can't be there after all, that's not good. You know, every area of life that's important, of any importance, is an uphill climb. Would you agree with that? Everything that really matters, we have to work for. And it's hard work sometimes, but it's worth it, but it's an effort. We have to make a conscientious effort. We have to be intentional about it. We just got done with the intentional Christmas. But, you know, we have to be intentional 365 days a year. Every day we have to be intentional. And I told you this might be the most important message you'll hear all year. This is why. This is it. Because that uphill climb, you're not meant to do it by yourself. You're meant to do it with others. You're meant to do it with other people by your side. And that's why circles are so vital, not just for the life of the church, but for the life of the church in each one of us, because we are the church. We have to keep that. We have to keep that in check. It's an uphill climb, but it's still an uphill climb, but it's worth it, and it's easier when we have people on our side. People there to catch us when we slip. We start to backslide down that uphill climb. We got people that would lift us up and encourage us. That's the power of community. That's the power of a circle. And you know, it's not a new concept. It's not a new concept. It's been around since the first century church when the writer of Hebrews talked about it. He talked about not going alone. I say he, but we really don't know who wrote Hebrews. It could have been a woman. It could have been Shebrews, for all we know. We don't know. But we do know in Hebrews that the writer wrote about this idea of not going it alone. They said, "See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. See to it. Be careful. Be certain. Make sure to do it." When I was growing up, my mom used to say, "See to it, you get those dishes done." She didn't mean, "Hey, Kathy, if you got time, maybe you could see about doing it." No, she meant, "See to it. That means they better be done. See to it." And I wonder who in their right mind would turn away from the living God. Knowing the right thing to do, who would turn from that and then do the wrong thing? Well, regardless of how old you are, how long you've been following Christ, we all have the capacity to do it. We all have the capacity. We all have the capacity to turn away from God. We do that when we don't live with love, when we don't offer mercy, when we don't seek justice. Those are some of the ways. The Hebrew writer admonishes us to see to it because they know we are capable of turning away from God. We backslide. Some of us have turned away from God, and I'm going to actually go on a limb and say probably all of us have done it at one time or another. Maybe it was only for a moment. You know, they talk about your Christian faith being a moment-by-moment surrender. I fail daily. I gave an example earlier about just going through the line, the drive-thru at McDonald's. You know how McDonald's has those two lines now? I go in one line, somebody pulls up after me in the second line, and then they're gone before me. Oh, that rankles me. And I lose my peace over something silly. But it depends on how, you know, if I had a good night's sleep or how depleted I feel. Some days I'm okay. But little things, it's those little things. Maybe it's for a season in your life. Sometimes we lose someone. And it kind of throws our life into an upset, and we kind of try to do things on our own for a while. Maybe it's for a few years. We move away. We're vulnerable when we choose not to belong to a faith community. We're vulnerable to this turning away. And the solution to turning away is not to try to do it on our own, but it's found embedded in these verses that we're reading from Hebrews. Let's read this one out loud together. "See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has an unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God." And I forgot to say sinful. Sinful, unbelieving heart. It doesn't say that you don't have a sinful. It says that none of you has. That means we're responsible for each other. I'm not just seeing after myself. I have to see to other people too. We need to check up on each other. We need to see to each other. And that's easier to do in a circle. It's easier to do in a circle. Making eye contact, face to face. It's harder to do in a row. The turning away from God begins in our heart. It starts within. It's not external. It's a doubt we have in our mind. It's a question we have. It's a weariness. It's that tiredness when we're not maybe taking care of ourselves. No one else knows. And by the time it's noticeable to most people, it's been there a little while. It's maybe it's grown a little, maybe it's festered. Unless someone's seeing to you, unless someone asks, that's not likely going to happen in a row. Why? Because rows don't know. Rose don't know. Your heart doesn't show in a row. We look good on Sunday morning. Hey, how you doing? Good. How you doing? Looking good. Yeah. Did you get a new coat for Christmas? Looks good. I'm not saying we're superficial, but we just look good on Sunday morning. You know, you need more than a row. You need a circle. You need a small group, because you can hide in a row. Even in a crowd of people, you can hide in a row. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. The writer of Hebrews goes on to say in verse 13, but encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by what? Sin's deceitfulness. It should not be a surprise to you that sin is deceitful. Encourage one another. And the word encourage here is more than just a simple, hey, way to go, good job, looking good. That's what I do at my granddaughter Lillian's basketball games. Lillian is 9 years old. She's in basketball for the second year. Last year it was like a bunch of chickens running around with their head cut off. But this year she's got a little technique. She can dribble a little. She knows how to shoot. She's even scored a few baskets. And I'm on the sideline saying, good job, Lillian. Way to hustle. Keep it up. Let's go, Potterville. Woo, woo. That's the encouragement I do. But that's not what the writer of Hebrews is talking about. They're talking about something deeper. The Greek word for encouragement here translates deeper. It means to appeal to exhort, to urge strongly, to beg, implore, entreat. Those are strong words that the writer is saying, we need to know well enough, each other well enough, that we can dig deeper. We need to know each other so well that we have the permission to do this. This is encouraged, not in a nosy, gossipy way. Not everyone needs to know everything about everybody. No, we're talking about relationship. We're talking about community. We're talking about pouring into someone and allowing them to pour into us. Someone needs to be seeing to you enough to know and to notice when your heart begins to turn. There's a huge difference, friends, between, hey, how you doing? And how are you doing? How are you doing? Are you okay? You don't seem yourself right now. Is everything all right? What's going on? Can we talk? How about a coffee? There's a huge difference, and it's the difference between a row and a circle. Circle. We need to do this so that a husband or a wife never needs to struggle by themselves, so that a teenager never needs to feel like they're all alone. So that a brother or sister is never out there fending for themselves. We need to do this. We need small group circles, which are a catalyst for these accountable relationships. Small groups are incubators for friendships. I want to share a story with you in my life when it meant a big deal for me. In June of 2009, my mother passed away from lung cancer. It was a hard time. I know there's nobody in this room that doesn't understand that struggle, because either you've dealt with it yourself or you've had a loved one who's dealt with it. Probably we've all lost someone somewhere along the line. I lost my mom in June of 2009. It was hard. The last that last week of her life was the hardest week of my life, basically. Now, I had a supportive husband who was there for me. I had my daughter. I got four siblings. I'm the middle of five children. So I had four siblings who were great, were close, we were all together. But you know what? We're all kind of in the same boat. And I don't know about you guys, but I have a hard time being vulnerable with my family. I'm not easily comforted. And I think it's because I'm usually the one doing the comforting. Anybody else the strong one in their family? I am that person who's the strong one. I'm not bragging about it. It's not an admirable trait, is it? It's a sort of a character flaw more than a character trait that's good, because we need to be able to accept help from people. And the people we love, we should be able to accept help, but I have a hard time. But it's my small group, my friends, my dearest friends. Here's a picture of my small group. That's Carol and me and Colleen and Karen and Becky. And for several years, we met every Thursday night. And they were the ones that were sending me cards during that time, praying with me, praying for me, meeting with me regularly, talking with me, helping me through that. And I'll never forget them coming to McLaren Hospital here in Lansing, that last hours of my mom's life, and standing with me in a circle, and praying with me. What they did was hold me up during that time, and they helped me to feel hopeful. Not hopeful that my mom was going to survive it, I knew she wasn't, but hopeful that it was going to be okay, regardless. That I was going to be okay, she'd be okay, everything was going to be all right. And I was able to accept that care from them because we had an accountable relationship. When we'd already made that agreement, the trust had been built, we'd been meeting for years, and I made that decision in advance to trust them and be vulnerable with them, and so I could do that. The Hebrew writer wants someone to notice and to know and have access to us and have permission from us to say something, to be there. But encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Daily, today, ongoing, consistent, continual. Not now and then, not once in a while, but consistent. We need constant encouragement. We're a generation that struggles with sin and temptation. It's something we deal with every day, so we need that encouragement every day as well. Now, the past few years, my accountability group has sort of fallen apart because Colleen moved back to Ludington, her hometown. And then Colleen and Carol both married men who consumed them. And Becky, bless Becky's heart, she passed away this past year from Parkinson's disease. And so my small group has kind of fallen apart. But when we do get together, those rare times we can get together, it's that connection is there. We'll never lose that connection with one another. That trust that we've built up is always going to be there. But I miss those regular meetings. And it's left me feeling a little depleted. What helps me during that time, during this time, is these small groups that I can join. And I was in the one this past fall on People of the Second Chance. Anybody else do that book? I know a lot of people in the church were in those groups. That was a great study. And I was able to meet every week for 10 weeks we got together with a group of people, new friends and old friends, and connect on a deeper level. I got to know some new people. And that kept my soul in check. That really helped me through. Maybe I'm a little depleted, but I'm not drifting because I can stay connected through these small groups. We need circles. We need people encouraging us. You need this. I need this. We all need this. Encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. I love the "so that" in the middle of a scripture. You know, that's the purpose of the scripture. That's the reason for it. That's the why. That's the explanation. Do this so that this will happen. Encourage one another so that you won't be hardened by sin. The author is saying that the best defense to not allowing sin to deceive you is to have someone who's pouring into you and someone you're pouring into. Without that, we easily deceive ourselves. We justify our actions. We make excuses if we don't have someone holding us accountable. So my question for you is, what lies are you telling yourself this morning on the last day of 2017? What lies are you telling yourself? How are you allowing sin to deceive you? Because we all do it. We all do it. It's a good question to ask, because we don't tell other people the things we tell ourselves. Maybe you're thinking, I'm tired of this. I'm just tired of it. I don't want to do it anymore. I don't think I believe it anymore. I feel all alone. That I really don't matter. Nobody really cares. Friends, don't believe it. Don't believe the lies. Don't believe the enemy who wants to attack your mind with that. Don't let that sin in to deceive you. You need to take those potentially self-destructive thoughts and share them with someone who you trust. Someone who can help you see it in a different perspective, through different eyes, fresh eyes. They'll listen and they'll encourage you. That drift starts within, so let someone in. The drift starts inside, it's internal, so let someone in. That's the point of these verses from Hebrews. Let's read them again together. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Verse 14 goes on to say, we have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the end. The writer seems to be taking us to a kind of a strange place here. What do they mean by that? Well, this is how you know that you're in Christ, that you hold to the original decision that you made. If we allow our heart to go unchecked, if we hold it in, if we try to do that uphill by ourselves, if we try to be strong, then we backslide. Then we begin to drift. And it leads to unbelief. It leads to unbelief. Drift unchecked can lead away from Christ. So we've established that we all drift. We all have the capacity to do it. We've established that. But if we leave it unchecked, it can lead us away from what we value most. One little area of drift in our life can lead us away from what we believe. And it's not about big stuff. We're not typically making big decisions in our mind. We're making small little decisions, tiny decisions every day. Those little things, one step leading to another that soon leads to a huge leap. Your behavior changes. Maybe you cheated on your spouse. It didn't start that way. It started maybe as a seemingly harmless little flirtation at work. It was no big deal. And then there was another one and another one. And pretty soon you got bolder and pretty soon you had to lie to cover that up. Maybe you've gotten deeply into debt. Wasn't one great big purchase you made. It was those small, unplanned, impulsive purchases you made that built up. You turned on a friend, you stole from your company, you start to question your belief in God. It's these little things that go unchecked that you're not sharing, that no one's seeing to you about. They have the potential to undermine everything. If you don't want to abandon the good things, if you don't intend to abandon the good things, we need to pay attention to the little things. It's the little things. And you can't do that on your own. That's why you need a circle. That's why you need folks that are going to hold you accountable. We might think of these verses from Hebrews simply as this. See to one another on a regular basis, so that none of you is tricked by sin and drifts away from the faith that has made such a difference in your life up until now. Get into one another's business. Share the little things so that it doesn't cost you everything. Someone can see what you can't. Someone can see your heart. The question is, will they have access to you? Will they have your permission to say something? Well, who decides that? You do. You decide. You give permission to someone to know you at that deeper level, to be able to see you and implore and beg and encourage you to keep you focused on what really matters. You need seeing to. We all need seeing to. We all need a circle. We all need a circle. At Sycamore Creek, small groups are central to that. We're not a church with small groups. We're a church of small groups. Doesn't that make better sense? Every person, all ages, no matter your age, to avoid drifting, to be the follower of Jesus that God intends for you to be, that he wants you to be, we need seeing to. Now, in January, we're going to be starting a group link month. That means we have all month to think about these groups, sign up for them. It's an opportunity for you to connect with others, be part of a circle. Maybe you've drifted. Maybe you need seeing to. Or maybe, just maybe, you can see to someone else. If you don't see a group in there that appeals to you, I encourage you to think about starting your own. Maybe you're struggling with something. Somebody else is struggling with that same thing. You start a group. Or maybe you have a hobby that you enjoy. You can share that with somebody. Maybe you're already in a small group. Put it in the group link. Invite somebody to join. Open your circle. We all need this, folks. I like that our small group semesters here at Sycamore Creek enable us to make a short-term commitment with long-term benefits. Long-term benefits. Don't try to do it alone. Don't let one of the lies you tell yourself in 2018 be, I don't need a group. It's fine for other people, but I don't need it. No, you need it. You need a circle, and I encourage you this morning, find one. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for your good word and for the writer of Hebrews who knew centuries ago that we need seeing to and encouraged us. Lord, we thank you for your love and care and for the people that you put in our path to help us navigate life. Lord, we thank you. Pour out your blessing upon these small groups that are forming that we might come to know you better, serve you better, and love one another better. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.